Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse me, for some reason my sinus is acting up. And I didn't just really start, but I just start acting the way it's acting now. So tonight I want to welcome you to Words That Work. It's not what you say, it's what the people hear and feel. Words That Work. And what we, this program, hope to accomplish is we want to encourage thoughtful discussion, thoughtful exchange of ideas, and so tonight we're going to be dealing with evangelism and Donald Trump and their support of him. That whole evangelical movement and how, we look at some highlights, how evolving relationship between the evangelical voters and political figures, and we'll be focusing on the former Mr. Donald Trump, his connection with this demographic. And we have to first admit that this didn't really start with him. This started really back in Ronald Reagan and maybe even before him. But I know that it started at that time with Jerry Falwell, the father, and Liberty University. And the father had what they called the moral majority. And what we used to call it, say that it was neither moral nor a majority. But yet, it had its support. He had his support. He gave it to Ronald Reagan. And, you know, we have to sit down and think about all of this. And as we think about it, this might need to be turned up a little bit more. And as we think about it, like I had to do, I couldn't understand why people who profess to be Christian, who profess to be followers of Yeshua, and they are following a young man, are they idolizing an individual that is antithetically different from their Jesus, and antithetically different from what the characteristics that the beloved Son of the Creator said that one must do to follow him, must do to be saved. They talked about it in those terms. But, and because it was their goal is to get into the kingdom when they die. But now let us move along. And let us take a look at this. You know, traditionally, the evangelical voters, just like the evangelical themselves, they were associated. They went to church. They claimed that they had conservative values. But they had strong religious conviction. And whenever you look at all of this, and you attempt to line that up with the evangelicals today, that whole movement, and how they idolize or worship the one that we will get into, Mr. Trump. They worship him. And whenever you see that there has been a shift, you know, I struggled with it until I did some research. I found out that there's a shift that's taking place within that body. And, you know, whenever you look at some of the people who identify themselves as evangelical, but they are not adhering to the traditional religious practice, or do they attend church regularly? And I said, now, okay, if they are not attending to the religious practices, what is that saying? Does that mean that they, in turn, can go and do whatever it is that they please? Are they writing their own? What is happening there? I just couldn't follow it. I couldn't understand it. The Bible that I have, which states that we don't create any idols, but yet they idolize that man. You know, it's amazing. These are white evangelical Christians. Most of them are white males, according to the literature. When you go out and start doing your research, and what is it you think the appeal is to? Why does Trump appeal to them? And we see that they are not embodying, he doesn't embody the traditional religious values himself. He doesn't. He's been charged with fraud. He's been charged with rape. He's been charged with trying to overthrow an election, and he has all these court cases, and he stands up and says that he hasn't done any wrong whenever he's been found guilty by the system that he, when he was president, that he upheld. I mean, it's amazing what's happening now and how it's happening. So how can, my question was to me, was how can the evangelical Christian continue to follow him? And as I looked at the January 6th foolishness, how can people wind up being sentenced to over 10 years in prison for this man, and he's still walking the street, still saying some of the same thing that put those person behind bars? What is happening, y'all? And why is it happening? And he's dependent on those persons to get out and vote so that he can keep him, or put him back in power. There's a shift that's taking place in the mindset of the people. The shift is taking place. You know, some of these individuals who identify as evangelical, but they don't follow the teaching of Jesus. They don't follow the teaching of religious, traditional religious practices. Matter of fact, a lot of them don't even attend a worship service regularly. Now, when we look at, let's take a look now, and we can be taking a look like we're dealing with an onion here. Onion has layers. It has a core, but it's protected by layers. And we see, what is this appeal to the evangelical voters? Well, now we take a look at it. This man, he doesn't embody the traditional religious values himself. And because if he did, he will repent. But he said he hasn't seen that he had nothing to repent for. He would accept responsibility for his action. The fact that he's been found guilty of sexual assault, and he, by a jury, his peers. And as we look closely at this, what do we see? We see this community is supporting him wholeheartedly. And then you say, why? And then you see, according to some of the literature that I've been reading, some of it is attributed to his promises, what? To address values? What kind of values? What kind of values? When now he's broken all the rules. It has led me to believe that there's more than one God, more than one creator. That one creator created people of color, and the other creator created people of non-color, of people who self-ID as white. My belief system and my values, they do not allow me to do what he's done and get away with it. I am forced to repent. I'm forced to not even go down the path that he went down. My values would not allow me to do the sexual assault and all that he has done. My values would not allow me to do fraud and then lie about it, and then lie and say that he's a victim when he had been found guilty by a jury or his peers. What are we saying? And why is it that these evangelistic individuals, they feel that they can support a person of this nature wholeheartedly? Are they telling us that we don't need, that our Creator doesn't let me take a quickie break here, y'all, and reorganize some furniture. All right, I'm back. Whenever we, in my community, we are held accountable for our behavior, for our actions. And you have a situation there where there is no accountability. And because there is no accountability, people feel they can do get away with anything and everything. And as again, there's a shift that's taking place. Once upon a time, whenever you talked about the evangelical movement, those individuals following the teaching of Josiah, the Yeshua, rather, the Messiah. Now, why would a person or group say, okay, we're going to support this man who doesn't demonstrate that he has any relationship with the Creator nor the Son based on his fruits? Now, I'm not sitting up here blowing smoke. If I'm wrong, I want somebody to pick up your Bible and call me and tell me. And I don't want to hear about your interpretation. Now, if you come up here and want to do some conspiracy theory and with your interpretation and ignore the details that goes along with what you read. I have a friend. My friend name is Mr. Click. And Mr. Click monitors what goes on, monitors the discussion. So, let's move right along. How could one say this man is okay because he is going to do what? Address issues. What issues? One issue was an abortion issue. The other issue was what? Same-sex marriage. And they go on and on. And the last thing, he gonna make America a Christian nation. It's interesting. The relationship with the evangelicals, who profess to be traditionally profess to be a religious conservative group. But here, this man, he has their support. They gonna vote for him. They saw him as what? A defender of their values. Defender of their values. And that's interesting. Their values. Didn't say defender of the values that was spoken by the Son, nor the values that were spoken by the Creator through the prophets, through individuals. It said their values. And that means to sit down and ponder, what are their values? What are their values that this man is going to support? Now, we know what his values are. Now, he will be in conflict state of supporting anything other than what he values. And it's clear that he doesn't value a whole lot that's in line with the Creator, not with the Son. But yet, they are supporting him. But the key words here is, what are their values? Is their values and priorities. It didn't say Christian values. It didn't say values that was espoused by the Son, their Lord and Savior. It didn't say that. It says their values. And that's what I keep hearing. their values and their priorities. Because he said that he was going to address those values, and those values are the things that this group hold dear and near to themselves. Religious freedom. That's another one he talked about, religious freedom. Now, I have to go back. I'm a member of this society, but I'm a member of a subset of the overall society. And whenever I look at the subset and how the overall society treats the subset, but yet one of their members has done things of worse, and he gets away with it. And now, neither he nor them are getting away with it. When I look at it from a biblical sense, Psalm number 2 speaks about it. It's interesting. As we go on, what are some of the action steps that this man did? The major one, he appointed what? Conservative judges. You say, okay, conservative judges. That word is not even in the Bible, conservative. Liberal is. It's in that several different places. You have a smartphone, you have the internet, you Google it, and you see it for yourself. The thing is, we have to ask ourselves, how can this man be a defender of Christian values? And he's broken them. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see through, as we used to say in our subset, Ray Charles could see through that. And Ray Charles is blind. And if we look, and what do we come up with? We come up with something that is not in line with the teaching of the Messiah. And as we go on, his relationship with them, he gets that vote. So, it's religious freedom. Religious freedom. He means a Christian nation. I want us to really give some thought to this. And when we look at his rallies that he does, and you listen to some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth and his son's mouth, and you sit there and you wonder. But the way that he carries out his campaign, it reminds you of a church service. At least it reminds me of church service. He makes a statement and waits for a response. make a statement and wait for a response. And this has really generated a support group. And according to the research again, a lot of them are non-church-going Christians, if you want to call it that. Now, moving right along. Remember what we said. We are dealing with the relationship that this man had with the evangelist. And in the process, what has he done? He has said something to the definition, to their identity. Like I said, once upon a time, there were churchgoers. Once upon a time, they were following the teaching of Jesus. It was out of that group that they had that bracelet. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus say? You wear that bracelet and you got to make decisions. And when you start to make a decision, the decision was, what would Jesus say? Would Jesus make the type of decision drawing to the conclusion that you're about to come to? Well, the term evangelical, it is more used now to describe what they call culture and political identity. Culture and political identity rather than a religious affiliation. When you look at it, this shift has been influenced by factors such as the decline in church attendance, political polarization, and the rise of social media as a platform for political discussion. Now, culture. Which culture? There are several cultures in this country. Which culture are we talking about? And then when I did my research, I came up with the white culture, white male culture. I'm amazed at how that group has taken authority over that movement. It appears if they have pushed out or they marginalized in the other groups that didn't look like them. We have Asian, we have Africans, we have African Americans. We have all of them who were under that umbrella at one point in time. But yet, when you look at the spokespersons, what do you see? Moving right along. This whole transformation, or a shift in the ideology, white nationalism, they want one church, and that's the church that's under their influence. And I remember out in, I think, Minnesota last year, they established two white-only churches. Now, the gospel message wasn't given to just white people. the gospel message, as I read it, was given to everybody and anybody. I want you, the Great Commission didn't say only give it to women. Didn't say only give it to white women. Didn't say only give it to men. It was gender free, colorless, color free, sex free. But now we are into a society, the dominant society, has decided that they can make up all the rules, that they have put themselves above the Creator, much less the Son, who he's the one that gave us the Great Commission to go into all the world. Now, we have a new political priorities. We shift here. Once upon a time, people held on to their religious values, the Ten Commandments. But now, you know, Ten Commandments is an example. But now things have changed. And some of those issues that they held, they are obsolete, but they're still holding on to them, like abortion. And this whole immigration thing, it is wild. If we take a look at who was here . The bulk of us will have to leave. We'll have to leave because we didn't start here. Our ancestors wasn't from here. Our ancestors was from someplace else. But now all of a sudden, we don't want them people coming in here. They're crooks, they're thieves, they're murderers. All types of negative categories being placed on them. Immigration. But guess what? Without immigrants, our economy will go into a dive head first. They contribute. But one of the things that I've concluded, it's not so much that they don't want them in here. They're the wrong color. They are fearful that this will no longer be a white nation. I mean, whenever you sit down and look at what comes out of people's mouths and look at their fruits. And when we do that, we come up with very interesting analysis, conclusion. The evangelical voters, a lot of them prioritize those two. What I mean by prioritizing, they are the two over that is most, that they are most concerned about. And whenever you look at the impact that all of this is having on the Constitution, on their lifestyles, what do we see? We see a country without laws. We see a country where anything goes. We see a country where when I was coming up in the late 40s, early 50s, our values was different. People cared for each other. People lived in community. And the rules or the policies or procedures that came from the Bible. And whenever you look at what's happening now, you wonder, where is the book? What book are they reading? One of the things that I'm looking at is how the law is not equally enforced. And that is why the courts finally come out and said that there is no immunity from your crime or crimes. And I just want us to think about all of this. So now if man realize that a person can't continue to break the laws and not be held accountable, what do you think Elohim is going to do? And now, we are gathered. We gather together on Sunday morning. And that's the statistics change. That is the most segregated time of the week. And we have lots of work to do. Lots of it. One of the things is, according to our format, 30 minutes discussion, 15-20 minutes, questions, answers, or comments. And we met that threshold. So now we are going to bring this to a close. And next week, we're going to pick up where we left off. And at that time, I would have had time to read more and have more factual information to share. Let us pray. Almighty Everlasting Elohim, we come to you saying thank you. We give you thanks and praise for the ability to do the research, the ability to search the files, the ability to create criteria that's compatible with the teaching of Jesus to evaluate these situations and circumstances. And now, as we go, let us go with the spirit of justice, mercy, and humble. In the name of Yeshua, amen.